What an honor it is to be here with you today. I am so thankful for the privilege and the high calling that I've received to be a mother. And I just want you to know, if you're here today and you're a mom, welcome to the club. The club that only allows only the elite in, and those are the ones who get to be called mom, mama, mom, mama, 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 mom, mom, mom. I can tell you, when I did make the statement that I wanted to change my name, it was one of those days, you know, where Pastor was in the living room in his chair, and Kaylee was in her room, and Stacy was in the other room, and my little dog, who's now in heaven, but my little dog was here. My little dog was doing circles wanting something, and I was trying to get some meat cut up for my little dog, and I hear, Mom, Mom. So I stop, and I go in here, and then I hear, Mama. Then I go in here, and then he's sitting there, and he goes, Hey, Mama. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I just want to change my name. I feel like I go through seasons as a mom, you know, when they're real little and you're so exhausted and everybody keeps telling you, you're going to miss this, you're going to miss this. And you're like, well, I don't miss it right now. And then there's those times, you know, when you get a little older and you're like, who is this child? And you call dad, your child, it's your child, you know, it's not, you don't want to claim it anymore. And then you get a little older and you stand back and you're trying real hard to find that line of not being prideful but feeling pride because your children are making good choices and they're doing things that make you just like so proud. But I know one thing in this season of my life, having raised my children and now they're grown, being able to look and say, I can still be mom. I don't ever want to have the title Big Mama. But I do have a lot of young women that I get to speak into their life, and I get to train them how to do what I do, and they have taken to calling me Mama Judy, and I really enjoy that. So if you want to call me Mama Judy, you're welcome to do that, but don't call me if you need anything. I want you to stand with me real quick. I'm going to read a very quick text, and then we'll have some more scripture at the end of our message today, but I want us to begin with just a very quick text. I want to speak to you today about the remains of motherhood, the remains of motherhood. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, everyone's familiar with this portion of scripture, and Paul is, he's speaking here, but we're going to look at just this one small verse, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Can we pray? Father, we love you, and we're so thankful that you are so present with us today. We ask that you would help us to receive your word into our heart, and God, give us understanding. Give us an edge to be able to apply truth to our lives and to become more like you. I thank you for the gift of motherhood, and I just ask today, God, for any that is here that may be need some comfort today. Maybe our mothers, our loved ones that we honor so much are not able to be with us today because they've gone on to be with you. Would you just fill that lonely, empty, aching place with your presence? Would you just move in this room with your gentleness and your kindness and assure us, God, that you're with us. For all of those that maybe are not a mother yet, but they're longing and reaching for that day, would you give them a hope and an assurance that you are able to do what no one else can do? And we just commit the next few moments into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. When I talk about the remains, I'm not talking about, you know, like you bury the remains. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how to describe the love of a mama. Something interesting that happened just a few weeks back, I was having lunch with a young mom, and she looked across the table, and she's like, Mama Judy, you have got to help me. I'm telling you, I don't know what to do. I have done everything I can to teach my children about God. I do everything I can to teach them the principles of faith, and I do everything I can, but then I have to send them to school and send them into the world, and there's just so much confusion, and they just come home with absolute confusion because it's just so crazy out there. How can I help them get through this? How can I help them understand that what I'm teaching them is true? And I said, I want to tell you, congratulations, you've got the first step already, because we have a lot of mamas who have given up the opportunity to teach their children at home. I'm going to let that just float over the top of our heads for a minute. I'm not talking about homeschooling this morning. I'm talking about home living. Home living. Living the life so well, so strong, so faithfully, so continually, without breaking down. Continually showing them the righteousness of God in everyday life. But what does that look like? That's hard. Welcome to motherhood. Amen. Changing diapers, it's nothing compared to what we have to really deal with when we are stewarding the souls of our children. That is a high and a holy calling. And it is something we have to take serious, especially in the culture we're in today. I am confident of this. I've spent my life studying and praying and teaching and preaching on parenting, and I did not get it right all the time. But I can tell you the things that the Lord allowed me to instill, I am now beginning to see the fruit of my labor. I'm beginning to see what it's like to have potty trained kids. Someone asked me, what was my favorite part? Because my children are grown now, and one of them's married and the other one's getting married, because I have hope, but I'm confident of this. I know one thing. They said, what was the most important lesson you ever learned in motherhood? And I said, the most important lesson I ever learned was that I'll never get it all right. So you can just take a deep breath. God already knows that we're not perfect. So I won't be a mom basher. Everything that I say today is for all of you, including the men. I am not going to try to make anyone feel bad, but I do want to absolutely exhort and implore you to begin to focus and give your attention to the opportunity you have now while there are children in your home. If your children are already grown and out of your home, we still have some amazing things we can do, and we'll talk about those in just a few minutes. I learned a long time ago that if I will take this is my guidebook. This is my owner's manual for my children. Everything that they need that pertains to life and godliness will be found in this book. And I have discovered a long time ago, there is enough power when I take this and I put it in my heart, and then I transfer it from my heart into their heart. There's enough power to change a generation. I learned a long time ago, there's this issue that we're dealing with right now, and I just want to set the record clear. I'm not going to shy back and hide and try to be careful what I say, not to offend any, but I have begun a long time ago telling my children who they are. We have a generation who does not have identity because moms and dads stopped imparting and investing identity in our children. I told my children from the time they were very young, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You were created before I ever had your name called. All the days of your life were written in a book by God. He already has plans for your life, and they are very good plans. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made you a beautiful young woman or a strong, faithful man. God has a plan to give strict identity where we have dropped the ball. And I am trying to claim that back. I told somebody one time, I am going to reclaim the rainbow. I'm going to go and take all of the promises of God for my children, and I'm going to invest it in their lives while they are young. If we will define them, no lie from hell will change their identity. Only God can decide that, and He determined before they were born. I tell my children all the time, there is nothing you can do to get away from God. He's going to be with you because Mom's going to make sure. I'm going to sick Him on you. I'm going to chase Him after you. I'm going to tell Him to get you, especially when I can't. There have been times I have looked at Kaylee and said, run. Run as fast as you can away from me and pray that God will save your life. Lock the door. And then I have to go in the other room and say, oh God, I've got to have wisdom. I do not know how to help her, but I need you to help me help her. And you know what He says? Well, you need to straighten yourself up first. And you know what I say? Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I submit myself to the cross. I lay myself down and I say, help me to be everything she needs me to be so that I can invest in her life and she can experience the goodness of God in this life. Something interesting is that I began to teach them self-governing abilities. I began to teach them how to control themselves. What? Kids can control themselves? Man, I tell you what, I'll say that same power that raised Christ from the dead, it dwells in your body, and it can quicken you and close your mouth when it needs to be closed and open your mouth when it needs to be open. And every day when I'd let those kids out, I'd say, Lord, close Kaylee's mouth. Now, y'all, I always act like Kaylee's the problem. Kaylee is man, she's amazing. Let me tell you something. That girl's going to change the world. I knew from the day she was firstborn that she was going to make absolute ripples in a tidal wave world. She's going to make a difference where there is no light. She's going to shine. You're the parent of a strong-willed child. That child will lead and not follow all the days of their life. If you will take the time now while they're young to invest the truth in a solid foundation of God's word, you will see a generation changed by the children in your home. Don't give them a title of loser and failure. Give them a title of child of God, mighty warrior. It's amazing to me. I would take scripture and I would teach them, you know, this is how you have relationships. Be ye kind one to another. Let the fruit of kindness be on your lips. We live in our home according to the word. Man, I tell you, I picture getting this great big, I never did, but I wanted to get this great big, huge, you know, those big family Bibles and put it on the coffee table. And every time they didn't understand why I said no, I would like to take them, and on occasion I have, and say, the reason why I say no is because the word of God says no. And if the word of God says we don't do that, then we don't do that. I blame God for everything that made them mad. It's God's fault. It's not my fault. God said it. And we live by what God says. And why do we do that? Because when we do, we have peace in our home. We have joy. Our needs are met. I told my daughter once, listen, I'm telling you no, but only because God said I had to say no. And I can't go against what God said. Why is that? Because there will come a day, and there has on many occasions, that I will have to go boldly before the throne of grace and say, God, you said if I would train up my children in the way they should go. God, you said that if I lay hands on the sick, they will go. God, you said, and God will never have to say to me, but you didn't do what I told you to do. He'll be able to say yes, and because you have tried so hard, I'm going to prove to you how faithful I will be. Bear ye one another's burdens. If you want to make friends, help a friend. Be a friend. It's easy to teach them using the word if you can just take them back to the only thing that will never, ever pass away. It's the fullness, everything we need. I tried to protect their mental health, and I'm going to help you with something right now. Take a deep breath. Kids, you just go ahead and put your fingers in your ears, all right? Here's what you do. I'm going to protect your mental health by instilling a guideline that says whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are lovely, all of those kind of things I want you to think on. So when you pull out your iPad or your iPhone or whatever form of technology you have, I'm going to take this scripture and I'm going to put it right up in your room. And I just want you to say, okay, is what I'm looking at just honest, pure, lovely, and right? And if it doesn't qualify, change the channel. And if I come in and I find something on your phone or your YouTube or your iPad or your computer, and it does not align with whatsoever things are, then that thing is going to go with me into the other room until you can figure out how to self-govern what you're watching, what you're seeing. And mom and dad, until they can, it is your job. I will be the one who makes the decisions until you are old enough to make the decision. But mom and dad, when they are, step back and let them. You have to find a place where you've told them enough, you can trust them to do what God's called them to do. Anyway, I tried to use it as a foundation. I know that if I will take what I know and invest it in them, then God's going to be faithful. So I'm going to talk to you about three things in three things. The scripture says three things remain. These things remain: faith, hope, and love. But I'm going to just start backing up when I'm focusing on moms, and I'm going to tell you three things that I know. I'm going to then tell you three things I want my children to know, and then there's three things every mom should know, and we'll be through. So I'm going fast. Are you ready? I can see that you are. Thank you for participating, all of you. Number one, Jesus loves me. This I know. Of all the things I know, of all the things that I may have ever studied or learned or experienced, of everything that I know, hear me when I say, Jesus loves me. This I know. We got to get that. We have to come to a place where we realize there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Nothing I go face, nothing my children face, nothing will take that away from me. I know that Jesus loves me. How do you know? Well, I know because God gave Jesus to die for my sin, to exchange the life that I had for the life that I have. And the life that I have is much better. I know that when I was lost and broken and messed up and abused and tormented and in a very dark pit, the love of God rescued and ransomed and redeemed my life, and the Word of God has transformed my life, and Jesus loves me. This I know. Second thing that I know is that I know Him. I know God. It's interesting to me, one time when the girls were real little, one of the little girls was saying something about God, and another little girl said, "Come here, I know someone who knows Him." Would they do that for you? Would they say, "I know someone who knows God"? How do they know you know God? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because when something really scary happens, who do you turn to? Remember I said it's not homeschooling, it's home living. Your children are watching every move that you make, and they will know what you know or what you say you know that you don't know. Are you still with me? I can say I know God, but when push comes to shove, I need to be able to go into His presence confidently, and I need to know Him. I need to recognize when He appears in the room. Shh, God is here. Do you feel that? I was reading to my girls one time, they were very little, and we were reading this book about Jesus and how he was taking care of a girl who got caught sinning, and we were talking about how Jesus loves us, and I remember saying, shh, y'all, God is here. Do you feel that? And it's so funny, Stacy, she's so sincere. She goes, she closed her eyes real tight. She gripped her hands real like she was trying so hard to feel God. And I said, let's just breathe. That's how you feel God. It's not a scary thing. It's an amazing thing. God is good. I know who He is, and I can describe Him to them. Oh, you don't have to worry. God would never do that. God is love. Oh, you don't have to worry. God has plans. He's going to make sure His plans come to pass for you. I can tell them my stories because I know Him, and I have experienced Him, and they can experience Him too. The third thing that I know is that I can trust Him. The hardest thing you'll ever face will be the day when something is wrong with your children and you cannot fix it. The moment when you look at them and you know they are hurting and you know they have a need and there's nothing you can do to meet that need. You are not the miracle worker. But there's no celebration more than to say, you can trust God. He's going to take care of you. When God was establishing the children of Israel over in the book of Deuteronomy, he's teaching them and he's telling his people, I want you to rehearse in the ears of your children everything your God has done for you. I want you to tell them about him bringing you from Pharaoh and bringing you across the Red Sea and taking care of you in the desert and providing for you and making a way where there didn't seem to be a way. And that same God wants to use that same principle in our culture today. We have got to be found reminding and telling our children over and over what God has done. Because when it comes to the fact that they need it, they will have something to pull from. I've begun to ask God, God, the things that I saw with my eyes, let my children see and more. The things that I have experienced, the miracles and the healing, let them experience that and more. Because I know it is my job to make sure they know that I have learned how to trust him. And that's extremely important. Now, let me tell you the three things that I want my kids to know. Are you ready? Number one, I want them to know you're covered. You are covered. I do not care what happens in your life. I don't care if you turn your back on mom and dad. I don't care if you rebel against everything we've ever taught you. I promise you this day, I will call your name out before God every single day. You may run toward the darkness, but the Holy Spirit is going to pull you back. I guarantee you, I will plead the blood of Jesus over your mind, over your body, over your soul and your spirit. I will claim the promise of God, and I will believe that I will see you follow hard after God. And I know that my children's children's children will receive a heritage because it is my promise, and you have been covered. Every day when I'd let my kids out for school, I'd tell them two or three things. One, remember who your daddy is. Everybody knows your daddy. Don't embarrass your daddy. And then I would tell them, remember who your God is. Make sure that you live a life in school just like you live a life at home. If we teach them at home, we won't have a problem sending them to school. Don't compromise, but lead. Be the leader. Now, that's hard. It's very hard. Don't judge them. Pray for them. Cover them in prayer. Man, I'll tell you what, there are times when I can recall kneeling outside of both of their doors. I try so hard every night to find myself a place to bow down right outside their doors. And I just begin to whisper to God their name, the things I think they need. And then I tell him, you know all. The things I don't know, you know. You know the darkness that's coming against them. And I speak to it now in the name of Jesus. God, you know the word they need to sustain them. Speak that word over them tonight. God, make a difference. When they wake up in the morning, let them see a new day dawning with the hope and the promise of their God, and let them always remember who their God is. God, stirs something up on the inside of them that shakes them to their core so that they will know they have been set apart unto you for a purpose. I began praying for my son-in-law the day my daughter was born. God is amazing at how he knows how to take and shape and form the future of our kids. But sometimes we fail to see the privilege we have to accept this high and holy calling to go boldly before the throne of grace for our kids. You are covered. That's one thing I want them to know. The second thing that I want them to know is he's all you need. I'm sorry, but he is all you need. You know, I wish I could tell you that I told my children, my girls, I raised daughters, and I never told them, you will never be complete without a husband. I told them, girl, you can do it all by yourself, but it sure is sweet to have a man with you. I know this for sure. The only thing they really need is God. If I can make sure that they have invested in them the truth of the kingdom, they can stand when I'm not here. Because there will be a day appointed by God when mama will no longer be here to pray. I want to teach them how to shake the world in prayer before I leave. What do I want them to know before I leave? What am I going to take steps to make sure they recognize and they understand before I leave? Because my mama's not here anymore. And I can't tell you how many times just after my mom went to heaven, I would go to pick up the phone to call her to pray and remember, mama isn't here anymore. But you can rest assured every day my mama was alive, she prayed for all six of her kids. Some of them in jail, some of them she didn't know where they were. But she called every one of their names out every single day. And I am living proof, Mama, if you'll be faithful to pray, cover them, he'll be faithful to you. He's all that they're going to need. And the third thing is I want them to go for it. Man, I want them to dream bigger than I ever dreamed. I want them to believe they can have anything that God has ordained for them to have, that they can ask him for anything in faith believing, and it will be done because they believe. Not because I believe, but because they believe. I want my children to know that there are things deposited in them that God ordained for their lives before they ever had the ability to dream, and I want them to go further than I've ever gone. My eyes have seen things I never thought I would see. I've seen things my mom never dreamed she would see, but I want my children to see much more than what I've seen. I want them to experience a deeper walk with God than I've ever experienced. I want the anointing of God to rest so heavy on them that the enemy just shakes and trembles when they walk through. I want that for them, and so I speak it over them. I call it out of them. Let me tell you something. I never want to hear anyone in my scope of influence speaking a negative word toward your children. We can correct our children by saying, "Excuse me, but a man of God does not act like that." But we will not be found calling them, "You're a loser, you're no good, you have no value," because that's when God will say, "Let me check you right here, Mama." I want us to begin to call out of them what they don't even know is in them. Listen, the coach can't do it. The student pastor can't do it. There is no one that's going to take your place. Mama, do not abdicate your authority to call greatness out of your children. Rise up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Look at your little girls and call them mighty warrior princess. Kaylee's so funny. When she was little, she was my princess. Stacy was my princess and Kaylee was my angel. And Stacy goes, "Is Stacy your princess?" I said, "Yes, but you're my angel." She said, "I want to be your angel princess." I said, "Oh, you will be that and much more. You'll be my angel princess, queen, darling." I mean, listen, they need to hear Mama speak that over them. I told Kaylee she'd be a lawyer. Thank God she's not, but I told her she would because she could win any fight. She was strong-willed, and she was determined. And I began to say, "Girl, you will lead and not follow all the days of your life. You will be the one who chooses not to do the wrong when everyone else is." Speak that out loud. Let them hear you. Don't think that. Don't wish that. Don't hope that. Speak it out loud into their ears. When I was rocking my children, I was calling things out of them. "Oh, God, they'll be the head and not the tail. They will be the favorite in every class." Classroom. And most of the time, that's exactly what has happened. So I want them to know they can go for it. I was speaking to a group of high school kids. I had the opportunity to do a leadership class, and I realized they were all getting ready to graduate. And so I just said to all of them, "Hey, listen, I want you to share with me, what are you going to do with your life? You're getting ready to graduate in just a few weeks. You'll be out of here. I want to hear what you're going to do with your life." And I look at them, and this was their response. "What? What? I wanted to go find every one of their mothers. Why does your child not have any dreams? Why is there no hope in that heart? Where is the destiny, the divine destiny of God that he placed in your hands to place upon their heads? Don't be afraid to lay your hand on your child's head and say, 'God has got something big for you.' Don't be afraid to do that. In fact, some of their greatest memories will be the moments when you really acted stupid and called something great out of them. Don't be embarrassed to invoke the name of Jesus." I better keep going or I'll get caught up in something and I'll get in trouble. Okay, I want to move to the third thing because I think this is interesting. in Corinthians, if you read the book of Corinthians, Paul is literally writing to the church at Corinth, and they are experiencing this great move of God. They're operating in all the gifts, and they're so proud that they have all of these gifts that they've, just like humans do, they've started comparing the gifts with each other. Well, I can speak in tongues. Well, I can interpret. Well, I can give a word. Well, I can prophesy. Well, I can this. And God explained to him, yeah, there is value through Paul. Paul says there is value in all of those gifts, but you're missing the whole point if you don't do those gifts and operate through love. Because if you don't, then all you're doing is making noise. You're not being effective because the gifts were given to edify the body. And if we don't love, we'll never be effective, even if we operate in great gifts. We can speak to a mountain and tell it to be moved, but if we don't have love, we have nothing. So he's trying to explain that to him, and he goes into this long list of things, and he's just giving them an idea. But then at the very end of the list, he says, I want you to love, and this is what love does. And then he says, but at the end of it all, only three of those things will last because all of these gifts will pass away. But faith and hope and love, they will remain. So for mothers and for motherhood, the three things I want us to look at is faith and hope and love. Beginning with faith, faith is an obedient trust and confidence in the Lord. I could have taken out the word obedient, but the truth is, when I begin to look back at all of the times I applied that definition to my life, I could trust in God all day long, but I had to learn to be obedient. If God wakes you up at 3 a.m. and says something is wrong in your son's room, get up. Go into your son's room. Even if he's asleep, just stand there and pray. What if he wakes up? Tell him you're praying for him. Literally, I can't tell you. I've talked with pastor's mom on many occasions, and pastor can tell you so many stories where he was getting in trouble, where he would sneak out, and his mama would wake up. God would wake her up, and she would know he was gone. So she would go in his room and wait and pray. And wait and pray till he crawled back in the window. Greetings. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. I want you to trust, and I want you to have faith, and I want you to be obedient. Whatever God tells you to do, even if it makes your kids mad at you. There's this young girl that Kaylee would hang around with sometimes. I know I use Kaylee a lot, y'all. Listen. She is the greatest gift of a daughter you'll ever see. I'm not being ugly about her. She has turned out brilliant, but she's the perfect book of examples. And I don't think she minds because she has turned out really good, y'all. She really has. But she would hang around with this one friend, and every time she did, when she came home, we could see a difference in her attitude. And the way she behaved and the way she treated us and the way she treated her sister and the things. And we would look at each other perplexed, like, what is this? And the Lord began to reveal to us, it is this friend that she hangs around with. It's having this influence on her. Now, it's going to make her very mad when we go in and tell this 7-year-old she can't hang around with her friend. 7-year-old. But we have parents today that would never do that. Oh, but she likes her so well, and you know, we just want her to hang. Listen, if you will close the door, the enemy won't come in. We're trying to figure out, why is my kid acting like this? Let me give you a secret. There's a window open somewhere. There's an issue, and if you will be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, He will show you exactly what it is, who it is, and where the window is. And then obey. Close the window. I don't care if it makes you the bad guy. Close the window. My children will tell you, my parents were the most strict of any parents I know. But I thank God today they were. It works out. It really does. If you're consistent. If you're consistent. Okay, so you got to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But with faith, everything in the world is possible. We have to remember that we are saved by grace through faith. We have to stand on faith, establish faith in our household, and be women of faith. Number two, hope. Hope is an expectation of something good. Man, oh, you better get in there because I'm getting my belt. That's not an expectation of something good. They're not hoping you're coming in there for that, okay? But as much as you have to do that, and you do have to do that, as much as you have to do that, you need to be able to have another kind of hope. It's okay for you to be good to your kids. You don't have to feel guilty blessing your children. It is the Father's good pleasure to bless His kids, and it's okay for us to bless our kids. It's okay. We need to be able to establish hope. Baby, I don't know how God is going to meet that need, but I hope He's going to do things we never imagined. You can expect Him to be good to you. You can expect God to be good to you. I'm teaching them to hope. Now, I have been accused before of being a diehard optimist. Yes, I am. Give me a problem and I'm going to find you a goodness, something really sweet in the problem. It's okay. I know that's the case, but look at this. I'm going to turn it every time. Why? Because I would die if I could not live with hope. If I had no hope, I literally would die because I grew up with nothing in a hopeless situation. But I have now learned to experience mixing my faith with hope and expectation of good. Hope anchors me and keeps me settled. It keeps me safe. Okay, three, we're finally there. You can take a deep breath. We're almost through. Everybody say the word love. I'm not talking about ooey gooey love. I'm not talking about Valentine's love. I'm talking about the kind of love that God shed abroad in our hearts. In the Greek, it's called agape. I'm sure you're familiar with that. But it's literally the ability to put others above ourselves. No one does that better than Mama. No one that I know has the pure mother love without experiencing God's love in their heart. Listen, even sinners that are mothers know how to love. But the pure love of God helps us love in such a way it brings transformation. The love of God that puts others before us, you will see when it's 2 a.m. and the baby is crying, or the baby's been sick and we keep going in there and checking on them, or when they've gone to school for the 10th time this week, they forgot their lunch, or they forgot some book, or we got to take it again. Mama loves me, I'll call Mom. Mom will cover, Mom will help me. Mama, 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 Mama. But what I know is love is such a perfect picture of motherhood. And motherhood is such a perfect opportunity to love to the depths of who they are. No one may love me, but I promise my mama loves me. I want my kids to walk into the schoolhouse knowing their mama loves them more than any of the other mamas love their kids. In fact, if you want to get in a fight in school, you go right ahead and tell my children you know somebody loves them more than their mama. Or you tell them that their daddy told a lie, because then there would be fist throwing. The job of motherhood is extremely challenging. And sometimes we grow weary in well-doing. We're just tired. It's okay to be tired. Did she just say that? I did. It is okay to be tired. But what do you do when you're tired? Come unto me, all ye mothers that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's interesting to me that we think a vacation will give us rest. Listen, time in His presence, Mama, will give you the ability to get back up and go love some more. It's like I said, Kaylee, run, hide. Mama's got to go pray before she kills you. You have to come to a place where you know if you will draw from the Spirit of God. I like to picture the Spirit of God in this big picture, and I'm leaning back and opening my mouth, and He is pouring out of His Spirit into my spirit, and I am able to again go back at it and love my kids the way He wants me to. I want to read the final portion of Scripture. because I want to experience the joy of motherhood where my children rise up and call me blessed. But when Paul was defining love, he gave a full description, and this is one we're very familiar with. But I'm going to take a liberty and change the word love to mama. Now, here's your test, mama. Really zone in. Don't tune out. I know you know this scripture, but I want you to take the test. The test is, see if this applies to you. And if it doesn't, don't feel bad. If it doesn't apply to you, make a note to ask your father to multiply this in your life so you can be a loving mom. I'm beginning in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Mama is patient. Mama is kind. She does not envy. She does not boast. She is not proud. She does not dishonor others. She is not self-seeking. She is not easily angered. Help me with that, Lord. She keeps no record of wrongs. Mama does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. She always protects, always trusts. Mama always hopes. She always perseveres. Mama's love never fails. What remains? The remains of motherhood, faith, hope, and love. Listen, if you're not a mom here today, but you are a woman, I want to help you out. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, we are defined as women who are supposed to mother other women. We are supposed to bring them under our wing and encourage them and teach them how to cook and how to clean and how to be a good wife and how to be a good mother when they eventually become mothers. We have the ability to be a mother even when we are not. And so I want you to receive that challenge today. If you're waiting to become a mother, hold on to hope, because he who promised is faithful. Now, as I was preparing for today, I spent some time with the Lord, and I really felt the Lord give me a specific proclamation that just began to rise up inside. And it was so strong, and I kept hearing it over and over, and I finally just surrendered, and I went in, and I sat down at my computer, and I just began to write what I was feeling in my spirit. And it became a prayer and a proclamation for mothers for Mother's Day. And I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to print these up, and I'm going to give them to every woman in the room. And we are going to stand together today and make a proclamation prayer, asking God to equip us to be the moms and the women of God he's called us to be. I know the men in the house will support us in this. So if you are a woman in the house today, I would love for you to come forward as quickly as you can. And I have the proclamation written for you to take one of these right here. And in a moment, we're going to read this proclamation together. You can take this home and practice it. But I want to make sure every woman gets one so you can participate with me in reading this proclamation. Come on down, make room. Scooch on in. Here's an extra. Come on in. Scoot in. There's a few more down here if you didn't get one. Now, men, those of you remaining in your seat, would you do me a favor? Would you stand? And would you do what men are supposed to do and cover our backs? Would you have our backs today? Would you cover us? Because we're going to proclaim together, and we're going to decree and declare a few things that we believe in the spirit realm are going to happen as we begin to speak them out. All right? Does everybody have one? Anybody doesn't have one? Pastor, there might be a few over here. We're going to read together. I'm not going to read and have you repeat. We're literally going to read together, okay? So take this in your left hand, take your right hand, put it on your heart. Let's read together. I am a woman who belongs to the Lord. I've been called and commissioned into the ranks of motherhood, both literally and spiritually, as a Christian woman. I have received a high and holy calling to steward souls in my home, my church, and my scope of influence. I realize this commitment is a risk and lives are at stake. Strengthen my hands for battle and give me wise strategies that I may be effective. I commit my thoughts to you and ask you to prosper the work of my hands. I stand firm in your word and I declare that I am a warrior, fully equipped for training my children in righteousness. Guide me in my role as a mother. May I fluently speak life over my children. May I be a refreshing, safe place for my family to find rest. May I strive to create an environment of faith that will influence generations to come. Give me the vision to see when the enemy is working undercover to challenge my family's peace. Holy Spirit, teach me how to recognize the areas where my children are being tempted or tormented and empower me to push back the darkness. I am thankful for my husband, my children, and all you have given to me. I will remain faithful to follow after faith and trust confidently in the Lord. I will be filled with hope and expectancy for all of the good things you have planned. I will live a life defined by love and honor. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Allow me to pray. Father, I thank you right now. According to your word, you have heard the decree of our hearts today. God, by your Holy Spirit, would you just begin to anoint every mother in the room, every woman of God in the room. Give us an anointing to reach a generation who needs to be given identity and hope, who needs life spoken into them. God, call us and awaken us in the midnight hour. Let us be found seeking your face and calling our children's name out to you. God, today, for any prodigals that may be represented here, God, go into the darkness and call them out of that into your marvelous light. God, for those who may be away from us, would you send angels to take guard over them, to protect them and keep them safe? God, would you raise up a new generation who will know their God, who will do great exploits, because there are mothers of faith who will invest in eternity of the goodness of God in the hearts of our children. I'm confident in this, God, that we have committed it to you, and we will leave today knowing the hand of God is upon me. He has anointed me. I will not abdicate my authority. I will take my rightful place as mama in the house. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you, and I commit that to you today, now, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. I thank you.